The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Truma. Also, I'd like to wish everyone a good Chodesh. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Adar. And Adar is a special month by Israel. It's Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. It's a month which brings Simcha to Klal Yisrael. In Parshas Truma, Klal Yisrael were commanded to take contributions from the nation and with it build the Mishkon, the sanctuary. As it states in Posuk Ches, V'osuli Migdosh V'shochanti B'Seichom. Make for me a Migdosh, a sanctuary, that I may dwell there. And the Beis HaMikdosh was referred to with two names, Mishkon and Migdosh. Mishkon is from the word Shochein, to dwell, because it was a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled. Migdosh is from the word Kodosh, which means separate, something which is Nivdel, something which is beyond us, because it became a place which was sacred. It became a place which was sanctified. And therefore it was beyond us. And the Mokam HaMikdosh, the Beis HaMikdosh was, whether it was in the desert, during the 40 years in the desert, and it was moved from place to place, or whether it was eventually came to what was known as the Beis HaLomim, its permanent place. And that was in Har HaBayis, Yerushalayim, during the time of David and Shlomo HaMelech. It was always the sanctuary, the sacred place, Mokom Kodesh, Mokom HaMikdosh, a place which was sanctified. The Mishnah tells us in Perek Chabishi, Mishneh Hei of Masechta Avos, Asara Nisim Nasu Laviseinu BeBeis HaMikdosh, that there were always 10 miracles which took place for our fathers in the Beis HaMikdosh. And then the Mishnah lists them. Lehipila Isha Mereach B'Sar HaKodesh. Never did it happen that a woman who was pregnant, who was expecting, did she have a miscarriage because of the scent, the aroma of the B'Sar HaKodesh, of the meat which was in the Beis HaMikdosh, because there were many, many sacrifices that were taking place daily and weekly and so forth. And the Gemara brings that a woman who's pregnant, a strong scent can be dangerous to the embryo, and also if she smells something and she has a desire for it, if she doesn't eat from it, it can be dangerous. But never, even though there were literally thousands and hundreds and thousands and even perhaps millions of people that would come through the Beis HaMikdosh during the course of a year, because all of Klal Yisrael were obligated to come up Shleisha Regolim during the three Yom Tovim and other times also, never did it once happen that a woman should miscarry because of the aroma of the B'Sar HaKodesh, of the meat that was being sacrificed or eaten in the Beis HaMikdosh. That was one miracle. A second miracle, Lehisriyar Bosh B'Sar HaKodesh Ma'elam. Never did any of the meat in the Beis HaMikdosh rot. You know, when you deal with meat is something which is perishable, so it's very common that it rots. It's never happened in all of the years of the Beis HaMikdosh. A third miracle, Leinira Zvuv BeBeis HaMitbachayim. Leinira Zvuv BeBeis HaMitbachayim. Never did they even see a fly in the Beis HaMikdosh where the meat was being prepared. If you go into a butchery and meat is being prepared there, or if you go into a slaughterhouse, an abattoir, so the place is full of flies. Never once did a fly appear in the Beis HaMikdosh. Now, this is not only speaking over one definite period. It's during the entire time of the Beis HaMikdosh, these were 10 miracles that always happened to our fathers. Fourth miracle, Le'ira Keri Le'Kain Godel B'Yom HaKippurim. And Yom Kippur, the Kain Godel, had to act as the representative, the Shliach of Klal Yisrael, to bring Kapora, L'Chaper Ba'adoy, Be'ad Be'Seh, Be'ad Kol Klal Yisrael. He had to bring a Kapora for himself, for his household, and for all of Klal Yisrael. And the entire avoda, the entire service of the day, was dependent on him. So therefore, we were very worried, because if for some reason he would be rendered, he would become disqualified, we would have a major problem. Never once did it happen that did he have on Yom Kippur, or immediately prior to Yom Kippur, an omission which would render him tomei, which would render him impure. And this was considered a miracle. Lekobuk shomim eish shel atzi amarocho. Eish tomei tu kabbe. There was a mitzvah that there must be always a fire on the mizbeach, on the altar. That fire burned by day and by night. Now the altar, the mizbeach achitzeinu, was in the courtyard. It was not protected by any covering or any roof. And there was Yemei Sakshomim, there were plenty days when it would rain. Still was a mitzvah that there must always be a fire on the Mizbeach. It never happened that the rain should extinguish the fire of the Mizbeach. This was another miracle that took place. Leinotzcha haruach es amud ha'oshon. A column of smoke would go up from the Mizbeach. Now, smoke usually is dispersed in wind. And again, this was in an unprotected area. Never did it happen that the column of smoke become dispersed by the wind, but always remained perfectly straight without any wind disturbing it. Leinimsol psul be'emer u'bishtei alechem u'belechem aponim. There were three particular korbanos, sacrifices, that came, and these were very important for various reasons. One was called the Omer. This was what was brought on the second day of Pesach. The other was called Shtei HaLechem, and this was brought on Shavuos. And the third was Lechem Aponim, and these were the loaves which were put on the Shulchan, on the table, all week, Erev Shabbos. If anything which was tomei, which was impure, a dead animal, or a dead rodent, would touch it, then it would disqualify it. Never in the time of the Beis Hamikdash did it happen that these should become possible, these should become disqualified. Omdim tzfufim u'mishtachavim revochim. When the people would come up, there would be a massive crowds. For example, on Pesach, the whole nation would come up, Erev Pesach, to sacrifice the Korban Pesach. Not everyone had to bring his own, because it was brought in groups. The Korban Pesach, which was a sheep or a goat, had to be completely consumed. So you appointed enough people from your family and from your neighbors on it, so it would be completely eaten that night. It was eaten the night of the Seder. And it was shechted, it was brought Erev Pesach. But the Gemara brings that one time they counted 600,000 sheep they had to do. This means that there were literally, and people would come up, literally millions of people would pour into Yerushalayim and into the Beis HaMikdash, Erev Pesach, and also on the other Yom Tovim. So it states, Omdim Tzfufim, when they stood, there wasn't room to move. Everyone was crowded together, but they couldn't move. Well, when it came time to bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of a sudden there was room for everyone to bow. And not only that, but on Yom Kippur, like in the shuls or in the yeshiva, when it comes to we react the avoda which took place when the Kohen Gadol would call out Hashem's name from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when the people would hear that, so they would all bow, and they would say the Baruch Shem Kfei Malchusai. There was room for everyone to bow. And not only room for everyone to bow, but when the people would bow and do vidui, they would be misvada, they would admit to their averus, there was dalet amos, there was a big space for everyone. So one could be misvada without having to worry that his neighbor would hear what he's saying, and it would be an embarrassment to him. So omdim sfufim u'mishtachavim revochim. When they stood, they were elbow to elbow. But when it came time to bow, there was room for everyone. Vehizik nochish v'akrev v'yushalayim olam. Never was there a case during the time of the Beis Hamikdash when a serpent or a scorpion would bite anyone. There was never a nezik, a damage, an injury caused by a serpent or a scorpion in Yerushalayim during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. That was the ninth miracle. The tenth miracle, v'le omar odim l'chaver tzar li amokom she'olim v'yushalayim. Never did we hear that someone would say that Yerushalayim is too crowded, I can't find myself a place to stay, I can't find myself a place to eat, and I'll have to go outside of Yerushalayim. Even though millions of people would pour into the city for the regolim, and they would have to find lina, places of lodging, and they'd have to find places to eat, and even places for panosa, because many people would stay there for a good amount of time. Never was it heard anyone should say that the city is too crowded, all the hotels are booked, and so forth and so on. We'll have to go to Tel Aviv. This was never heard. These were the 10 miracles which took place constantly. Two are fathers during the time of the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash. Now, what does this denote? The Maral in his Pirush HaNovis explains. This world, our world, the Olam HaGashmi, the physical world, is conducted according to the physical nature. Therefore, everything that we see is in accordance to natural order. Very rarely do we see a deviation from this, a Nes Goloi. When we do see a deviation, we say, look, it's a miracle. Like when Moshe saw the burning bush, and the fire was burning, and it did not become consumed, he said, let me go and see this great miracle. Or the Kriya Shamsim, the splitting of the sea. But generally, the world is minhogei nehig. It conducts itself in accordance to the natural laws which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to rule the world. This is the physical world. And this is how we must live in the physical world. Perhaps behind the scenes, miracles take place, which are known as an Eis Nister, a concealed miracle. But that there should be an open deviation, this we don't find. It states even the Oves HaOlam, even Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the greatest people, all were aware of this. And therefore they conducted themselves accordingly. Like the Gemara says, Ein Semich and Ala Neish, you must not rely on miracles. We have to live according to the Teva, according to the nature of the world. It states even by Avraham Avinu, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, that Avraham would go on a journey, so he would get up early in the morning at dawn. And the Gemara asks, why didn't he get up before dawn? Why just at dawn? If he had such an important mission, so he should get up even before dawn. 3 o'clock in the morning, let him get an early start. We certainly couldn't say that Avraham was too lazy to get up so early, because the Gemara says we learn zrizus from Avraham. We learn enthusiasm from Avraham. So it says because a person, when he goes on a journey, it's not safe if he goes out before light. Because to go out on the derech in darkness, and in darkness there's all kind of hazards, therefore he shouldn't leave before dawn. Therefore when Avraham even got up for the most important journeys, the most important mitzvahs, it was Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. He got up dawn, not before. But what did Avraham have to worry about hazards for? A person like Avraham. Because Ein Semchin Ala Neis, Afilo Ovis HaOlam, even the fathers of the world were aware that there is a nature, and we have to have great respect for it. We must take care of ourselves. This is the Olam HaGashmi, the physical world. When it comes, though, to the spiritual world, that's different. Spiritual world is not mishubed, is not subjected to the rules of the nature. Spiritual world. The Beis HaMikdash, the Mokom HaMikdash, was not a physical place. It was a spiritual place. It was a spiritual place which found a place in this world. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, V'osuli Mikdash V'shochanti B'seichom, make for me a Mikdash that I might dwell there. This means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to come and dwell in the Beis HaMikdash. This is his home. If it's his home, it cannot be a physical home. It's a spiritual home. When Yaakov went across the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and he had the dream, and he saw the Sulam Mutzav Arso, he saw a ladder which was going from the earth to the Shemayim, and he recognized what this place was, he says, Manera HaMokom Hazeh. This is not a regular place. Manora, how great and fearful this place is. Had he known what this place was, he says, I wouldn't have slept here. And he saw the ladder starting from the earth and going into the heavens. He says, Ein zu ela beis elokim, v'zeh shar ha-shamayim. This is the house of Hashem, and this is the gateways to heaven. And the Chazal bring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beis hamikdash shel malo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beis hamikdash in the heavens, is mechuven lebeis hamikdash shel mato, is at this place, except this is in the heavens and this is in the earth. So we're not speaking here of merely of a physical structure. We're speaking of something which has a physical garb, but it is very, very spiritual. And this is why it's called Mishkon, Kodesh Baruch Hu dwells, and it's called Mikdash, it's sanctified. It is elevated, it's uplifted. If this is the case, then it's not subjected to the rules of the nature. It's free from the rules of the nature. And this is why miracles happened. Now, it's important to note, it doesn't say that a miracle would happen once in a while. It's it constantly. Because even in a physical world, miracles happen once in a while. But that still means that the laws of nature are there, except once in a while there's a deviation. But here, miracles happened all of the time. All of the time. Which it was an illustration that this was its normal level. Its normal level was to be free of the laws of the nature. And this is why also it states Yud, 10. 10 represents something to us. 10 is a number which is an entire unit. See, when you count 1, 2, and 3, so these are individual numbers. But 10 is an entire unit which joins all the numbers together. We count 1, 2, 3 till 9, and then it's 10. Then we count again till 9, and then it's 2 tens, and then it's 3 tens. So 10 represents that, in general, miracles took place. In other words, not specifically. Sometimes a specific miracle can take place because in a specific aspect, this can be free from the nature. But from the fact that 10 miracles took place, and the fact that all the time miracles took place, this means that the Mokom, the place, was in general, in entirety, free from the physical nature, and all of the time. And this is why constantly these miracles took place. Now, we can ask, why these miracles? See? Why these miracles? The fact is, some of these seem somewhat strange. But if we give thought to it, we see that they all have a definite pattern and direction. All of these miracles represent the lack of something becoming destroyed or becoming decayed or becoming spoiled. All of these miracles. We see in this world, everything comes to an end. There is nothing that lasts forever in this world. Everything comes to an end. And we see that everything is under the influence of time. Like Shlomo HaMelech consistently writes in Kehelet, saying, Chorish tachas HaShemesh. This world is beneath the sun. Beneath the sun means it's constantly under the influence of the sun. The sun is the master of time, because the whole concept of time is to calculate movement. If everything stood still, there would be no time. If we would wind our clocks, it would be an artificial time. But time, in essence, is to calculate movement. What are we calculating? We're calculating the Earth going on its axis. See? We're calculating of the Earth's movements compared to this in ratio to the Sun's movement, and so forth. So we're calculating the movement of the solar system, and this is all ruled by the Sun. And therefore, the Sun is the Melech. He's the physical king, which puts everything into order in the physical universe, and everything is under its influence. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech would say, in Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh, everything is beneath the sun, under its influence. Everything's under the influence of time. And becomes eroded. As time goes by, things die, things come to an end, things wither, things will spoil, or they'll decay, or they'll corrode, or they'll turn into dust. This is the way of the world. Can't find an exception to this. If we do, it's a wonder. See, then we ask the question, why? But generally, this is the way of the world. Why is this? Because this world was created l'shor. The world was not created forever. It was created only as a temporary situation. If it's a temporary situation, then it must have a beginning and it must have an end. So everything heads towards that end. Therefore, it withers away, or it corrodes, or eventually dies. And it returns to the earth. And there'll be a time when the earth will be taken away also. So that's this world. That's a overall physical principle. The Beis HaMikdash, as we mentioned, which was not physical, belongs to the spiritual world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's forever. He has no beginning, he has no end, he's forever. If he's forever, then he's free of all erosion that comes from time. So there's the concept of an end, or of a destruction, or of a death, or of an erosion, or of spoilage or decay is non-existent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, in his home also, the Beis HaMikdash, which was his place, it was free to degrees, not entirely, because the Beis HaMikdash was both. It was a spiritual home, which he planted in the physical world. Right? But in many ways, it was free from all of these negative influences. This is why the Beis HaMikdash was referred to as Or, light. The Gemara in Bava Basra brings a story with Hurdus HaMelech, Herod the king, who went and he was a murderer, extremely ruthless. He killed off the Chachomim, killed off the sages. Later he came to the other sages and he said he wants to do tshuva. What should he do? So they said, Ato kore or shalelom, you went and extinguished the light of the world because the sages represented Torah. So lechasek be'erishal Torah, be'erishal elam. Go and occupy yourself with the light of the world. Go rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash at that time was standing. It was during the time of the Romans, but it was very, very run down. So go rebuild it. Go, in which he did. That was the binyan shel Hurdus, which the Beis HaMikdash was extremely, extremely beautiful. So the Beis HaMikdash was called light. Light and darkness represent what we're speaking about. Darkness always represents where something is lacking. Something is not there totally.
because if it would be there totally, you would see it. Darkness is always the picture of an end. It comes to an end, it's dark. Light, on the other hand, is the picture, is the illustration of something which is a reality, which is existing. It's there. So Torah is represented by light. Beis Hamikdash is represented by light. The Gemara brings a pasuk that there'll be day and there'll be darkness. So it says day, this refers to Olam Haba, the world to come. Darkness, this refers to this world. So therefore, the prevailing rule of nature did not have such a hold in the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, these 10 miracles would happen all of the time, and they're listed in an order where not only a total decay or destruction would happen, but even the smallest one wouldn't happen, to show the madrega, the maila, the level of the Beis Hamikdash. Here, let's take them one by one and we'll see. First it states, Lahipila Isha Mereach Psara Kodesh. Never did it happen that a woman should miscarry because of all of the reach, all of the strong sense of the meat in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, this means that the embryo was never destroyed. Here we're speaking of something which would have been a total destruction. See, the destruction of an embryo, the destruction of a human being. That never happened. Then it says, Lehisriach Psar Kodesh Ma'ilam. Never did it happen that the meat itself spoiled in the Beis Hamikdash, even though they were dealing with such quantities of meat every day. So here we're referring not to the destruction of an embryo of a human being, but the destruction of meat. In other words, it's a much, much lesser destruction. But even that didn't happen. Then it states, V'leinira zvub be'beis hamitbachayim. Never in the butcheries or where they were shechting did they ever see a fly. Now here we're speaking of not a total spoilage, but a mixus, a partial spoilage. Flies are both created by spoilage and they're attracted to spoilage. And this is why you find flies so much around foods and around meats. So even a partial spoilage, from the fact that they never saw one fly, this meant that there wasn't even the smallest degree of spoilage or decay in the meats. So this was the third miracle. Never did it happen that the Kohen Gadol would have to be disqualified because he was rendered tumah, he was rendered impure because he had an omission Erev Yom Kippur. So here we're speaking about the spoilage of a seed. Never that, even that happened. Now it brings us, that's the first four. The next three is Lekovuk Shomim Eishel Atziam Arocho, that the rains never extinguished the fires which were to be burning all of the time on the Mizbeach and the altar. Here now we're going into a higher level. The first levels we were speaking where there would be a decay or a destruction internally. Now we're speaking where the force of destruction would be external. You have a fire. If the rains come and put it out, so it doesn't mean there was something wrong with the fire. The fire was healthy. Except an external force came and extinguished it. See? Not like the previous cases where meat spoils. If meat spoils, it means that there's something wrong internally. Or flies come, so there's a spoilage. See? So now we're coming to another level. Even where the item itself was healthy, but an external force came and overwhelmed it, this also we didn't find in the Beis Hamikdash. The fire is burnt on the altar. So what if rains would have put it out? This doesn't show that there was something wrong with the fires. Even that didn't happen. because the Beis HaMikdash had such a strong spiritual level in it that it could withstand even external forces when it came to destruction. Or Leinotzcha HaRuaches Amud HaOshon. Leinotzcha HaRuaches Amud HaOshon. This again was an external force. That there was a column of smoke which came up from the altar and the winds never dispersed it. Now this is even a more sophisticated level. Firstly, it was an external force could not destroy the smoke. But not only it could not destroy the smoke, but we're not speaking of destruction, we're speaking of a dispersion. It couldn't even disperse the smoke. See? So this is already a more sophisticated level, and even that the Beis HaMikdash was free from. Then it states, Leinimtza psul be'eimer u'bishtei alechem u'belechem aponim. We will never find any tumah, any impurity, caused to these three sacrifices. The sacrifice which came on the first day of Pesach, or on Shavuos, or the breads which came on Erev Shabbos, which were placed on the table on Shabbos. Now, here also it's an external force, because we're speaking about something that was tummy, a dead animal or a dead rodent, would touch these sacrifices and render them tummy. So this was an external force, and here we're not speaking about a total destruction, we're speaking about a type of destruction which is not even evident. The Gemara refers to this all the time as a hezek shein anikur. This is a type of destruction which is not even evident because physically there's no change. Till now we were speaking of physical changes, but here if we become tomei, impure, there won't be any physical change. Even this, the Beis HaMikdash was free of. Now it goes to the last three. The last three was Eimdim Tzfufim Umishtachavim Revochim. Now here we're speaking of not destructions, but rather even slight injuries. It states that when everybody stood, they stood elbow to elbow. But when they bowed down, everyone had enough room all of a sudden. This was a miracle. Had they not have had the room, there would have been injury. So the Beis HaMikdash was free even from injury. Then it states, Lehizik nochash ve'akrev b'Yerushalayim olam. Never did anyone complain that he was bitten by a serpent or a scorpion in Yerushalayim during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Now it doesn't say that never was anyone killed by a serpent or a scorpion. It states, Lehizik, he was never bitten. So it's referring to a bite, not a lethal bite, but it's referring to an injury. And injuries from snakes or scorpions, if they're not lethal, then they're usually not serious. They usually bite the person on the heel, the Gemara says, because this is what many times it refers to. So even this didn't happen in Yerushalayim. And this is something which is considered to be part of the nature, very strongly part of the nature, because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Chava, the first woman, that Eva Oshis Bein Zarech, that I will place hatred between the serpent and between you and his seed and you and your seed. So this is something which is very strongly incorporated in the nature of the world. And even that didn't take place in Yerushalayim. And then it states, for Omar Adam Lechaveir Tzali Amokim Sholim Yerushalayim, never did anyone have to say that there's no place for me to find lodgings in Yerushalayim. Now this is not an injury anymore, this is a discomfort, this is an inconvenience. There's no room for you to lodge, you'll have to go look other places. Even this discomfort, this inconvenience didn't take place. So these were the miracles, and along this pattern. Now this principle that we find in the physical world, everything must come to an end, and therefore we have this concept, this principle of ipush, of spoilage, of decay, of deterioration. This all actually came to the world not at the creation, but later. When the Almighty created the world, He created Adam HaRishon, the first man and woman, in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. It was only later that Misa, death, was brought to the world. After Adam and Chava sinned, and they ate from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree of knowledge, then was brought to the world death, see, in the deterioration. But before then, not. Before then, man would have lived forever, for the entire time of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "B'yem achol chameis tomus," that on the day you shall eat, you will die. And this took place. Adam, it states, 1,000 years of man is like one day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, at that time was decreed that Adam should not live over 1,000 years, in which he did not. So all of this came later. But it was not at the beginning of the world. We find that after Misa, after death, was brought to the world, so it states in Bereishis Dalet Posuk Chof Hei, it states that Vayoda Adam es Chava, that Adam took back his wife Chava, and the Medrash states, Rashi brings it, that he separated from her for Kuf Lamed Shona, for 130 years. He didn't want to live together with her for 130 years until finally he was convinced to go back to her. And why was this? Because he could not make peace with the fact that he would bear children and they would eventually die. See, this was a new concept to the world. We're accustomed to this because we live in a world which deterioration and end is part and parcel of it. But to Adam, this was a concept he didn't know of. He was born into a world where a person did something, it lasted forever. And after death was brought to the world, he couldn't make peace with the fact that he would bear children and they would die. So therefore he separated himself for 130 years from his wife, until finally he was convinced that no, he must do his job and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his job. But this was a new concept which came into the world. So we see that the level of Gan Eden, which was a level of spiritual perfection, is a level which is beyond any type of decay or spoilage. And this we also find with the Torah. The Gemara, we brought this recently, the Gemara brings in Masechta Aveda Zora, I believe it's in the Daf Dalet or Daf Hei, the Gemara brings, Omer B'yesi, Leikiblu Yisrael, Esatera, that Klal Yisrael received the Torah in order shaleyehei malach hamoveth shelet bohem, in order that the malach hamoveth, the angel of death, will have no influence over them. At the time Klal Yisrael received the Torah, they came to such heights that the angel of death would have no influence over them. There would be no death. If there would be no death, so then there's no deterioration leading up to death. Why? Because they came to such heights that they were equal to that of Adam HaRishon Keirem Achet. It was equal to that of the first man before his sin. So they came to the spiritual heights of Gan Eden. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Amarti Elokim Atem. I said that you were like gods. B'nei Elyon. You were like angels. After the sin of the golden calf, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ochein ke'odom tabusum. Uke achad asorim tipolu. You will die like people. Because of the sin of the golden calf, they fell. And again, the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, was able to have influence over them. So we see that deterioration and decay, this is part and parcel of the physical world, which is removed from the spirit, from the spiritual world. But someone who is elevated to the spiritual world, so then he distances himself from decay. If someone is of spiritual perfection, then he would be free from this decay completely. This was Adam HaRishon, man, before the Chet, and this was Klal Yisrael when they received the Torah at Sinai before the golden calf. And this is what we saw all of the time take place, degrees of it, in the Beis HaMikdash. The reason for this is very simple. Because the spirit, the source of the spirit, spiritual world, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no beginning, there's no end. So the whole concept of an end, of a self, the whole concept of a decay, of a deterioration, is totally foreign. So this only happens when we remove ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a pasuk at the end of Eicha that the prophet said in Yutes, right at the end of Eicha, Ato Hashem le'elam teshev, Kisacha le'dov ador. Whatever will happen to the world is one thing, but you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will reign forever. Your throne will be forever, for generation to generation. All of this deterioration, this is only because of a distance from its source, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in essence, the source of man is forever. This is why we find that after Adam HaRishon was Chayta, when he sinned, so what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in, this is in Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Yutes, Ulodim Omar, and to man he said, because you did this and you did this and so forth and so forth, so b'zeh sepecha teicha lecha, you shall eat your bread by the sweat of your brow. If people have to labor enormously, if they have to toil and they have to work day and night to make a living, they shouldn't feel bad, because I mean they shouldn't think it's unusual, because this was the nature that was brought into the world after the sin. Atshuvcha el Adam, until you will return to the earth, ki mimena lukachto, because you were taken from the earth. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu told man, you will deteriorate. What happens to man when he dies? Turns into dust. What do you mean dust? He becomes earth. He says, you will, before then, you wouldn't have to work. States, Nar Yotzim Eden, a river went through Eden and watered everything by itself, and it was a flourishing garden, and you didn't have to do anything. And there was no returning to the earth, and there was no death, and there was no deterioration, because you were close enough to the source, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the spirit, where there's no beginning, there's no end, there's no deterioration. But now that you did this chet, and a chet becomes like a mechitzah shel barzel, it becomes like an iron wall between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between the soul and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've distanced yourself. And now you become part and parcel of the physical world, far away from me. So first of all, b'zeh sepecha teicha lechem, no longer will you be worthy where your panosa comes by itself. You'll have to labor and sweat for it. Atshuvcha el adama, and you will deteriorate and turn back into earth. Ki mimenu lukochta, because this is where you came from. Ki ofer atov el ofer toshuv. You are taken from the earth, and you shall return from the earth. Now, when was man taken from the earth? So it states in Parsha Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofer min Adama. Man was structured and formed from the earth, dust from the earth. But Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a living soul. The soul didn't come from the earth. The body came from the earth. But the soul, that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath, Vayipach Ba'apav. He gave him part of his own breath. Chazal tell us part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own breath he placed into man. And there it states Chaim. When man was made from the earth, doesn't say Chaim. But Vayipach Bapav Nishmas Chaim, he blew into his nostrils a living soul, Eretz Yitz Chaim, because that lives forever. That's part of the Almighty. Vayodam L'Nefesh Chaya, and together he became a living being. But now that he sinned, so eventually whatever's physical in him will deteriorate and decay, and it will go back to the earth. But the neshama, the soul, that goes back to its source. That goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we see that everything eventually finds its way back to the earth. It decays, and it spoils, and it rots, and it finds its way back to the earth. The earth doesn't decay, though. We don't find that the earth decays. Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that way, so that the earth could be collate. The earth could take in everything else. There has to be something here that will take in everything else. So the earth is collate, the earth takes in everything else. Actually, it's brought that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Ofer Mina Adoma, from the earth, he didn't create him. There's a question, there's a machlekes. What earth did he take? So one opinion is he took the earth from where the altar was in the Beis HaMikdash. Another opinion is he took a little earth from all over the world. So wherever a man will return to, he'll be returning to his physical source, and it will take him in. So the earth gathers in. The earth is like a mother to a person and gathers in everything that eventually ends and finds its way back to the earth. Then eventually the earth itself will be gathered in. The Seif Yomav at the end of the day is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will call back the earth. But until then, the earth has to be like the mother that gathers in everything else that's physical. It's interesting to note that generally when something decays and something rots, it's generally accompanied by a sirchon, by a bad odor, by a stench. This is what we find in the nature. The fact is, many times if we want to know if something is good or it's rotten, we smell it. If it has a good odor, it's a sign it's good. If it doesn't, this is a sign of a decaying process, of a deterioration process. It's interesting to note, the Gemara in Brochas brings and daf mem gimel omed beis. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Zuchter Batuvi Omar Rav, Minayin Shemavorchin al Areich. From where do we know that when you have something that has a good scent, a good aroma, that you're obligated to make a brocha on it? See, we have to make a brocha. From where do we know this? So he brings, Shenemar, as it states in Tillim, Kol HaNashom Tehalel Ko, that every soul shall praise Hashem. David HaMelech said this, Kapitel Kuf Nun, every soul should praise Hashem. What does it mean, every soul that should praise Hashem? Is he speaking to angels, or is he speaking to human beings? Speaking to people. So what does it mean, a soul should praise Hashem? A person is a combination of a body and soul. So what does he mean, how can you praise Hashem with a soul and without a body? When we speak, that's the combination of both the Ofor and the Neshoma. Yet David HaMelech said, Kol HaNeshoma Tehalel Ko, that every soul should praise Hashem. Where is it where the soul praises Hashem and the body doesn't? So the Gemara says, Eizeh Dove Shah, Neshoma Nehenes Mimenu Vein Aguf Nehenem Mimenu. There must be something where the soul can take pleasure in something and the body cannot take pleasure in it. And therefore the praise will come only from the soul and not the body. Heviyem Ezeh Areyach. This is reyach. This is an aroma. A beautiful scent that the person has enjoyment from is not a physical enjoyment, the Gemara says. It's a spiritual enjoyment. It's an enjoyment from the soul. And therefore, if we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that, it's actually the soul which is praising Hashem, and not the body, because the body is not getting any hano, any enjoyment from it. This is what the Gemara says. So from here we see that an aroma, this is a joy to the soul. For this reason, the Gemara brings that on Mitzvah Shabbos, we make a bracha on Besomim. Because on Shabbos, we have Neshama Yoseira. On Shabbos, we have a taste for Neshama because of Kiddush Shabbos, so we get more soul than we usually have. That's why a person feels so much better and so much more spiritual on Shabbos. But on Mitzvah Shabbos, the Gemara says, he's very old, he's very prone to depression on Mitzvah Shabbos. Why? Because that soul leaves him. This is why when Mekabel Shabbos we go out and we welcome the color, that's the additional neshama that we get. But on Mitzvah Shabbos, it leaves him. And therefore he's very prone to depression. So in order to give an extra joy to the neshama that's left in him, we take something which smells good, Rishamim, see, sweet scents, and we use it when we make Abdullah. This is the reason why the Besomim. So we see from here that a scent, a good scent, this identifies itself and relates itself to the neshama, not to the body. Not to the body. There can be secondary effects. A person must realize that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him as a total being, where everything is intertwined. So many times we can have a spiritual enjoyment, but it can set off secondary physical effects. And the same thing vice versa. But basically, it's a spiritual enjoyment. It's a hanoah of the neshama. Now, from here we can understand. Actually, in the Gemara brings also, the Chazal say, that how do you tell if a person dies? How do we know when a person dies? Today, this is a big discussion. In medical halls, it's a big discussion, because with machinery, you can keep people alive almost endlessly. See, but the Gemara brings, how do you know when a person dies? How do we tell? So we tell when a person dies, when his breath has stopped. If his breath has stopped totally, then he dies. For a long period of time, then he dies. So Gemara says, why is this a sign of death? Because this is the sign that the soul is leaving the body. Gemara says, why is this a sign that the soul is leaving the body? Because this is how the soul entered the body. It states, "Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils some of his own breath, which was the soul. He placed the soul into the body through the nostrils. So the same thing, the soul leaves the body through the nostrils with the last breath. Okay. And the reyah, the scent, also goes in through the nostrils, because this seems to be the way to the soul. So therefore, now it's very understandable. When you have something of decay, of spoilage, something which is rotten, this is totally contrary to the level of the spirit. Because this is only possible by something which has an end to it, and it's deteriorating to come to its end. But the spirit, which is a nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a soul that lives forever, it's part of the Almighty. So there's no end, and therefore there's no deterioration, and there's no decay process. There's no rotting process. So therefore, anything that rots, which is contrary to the spiritual level, gives off a sirchan, gives off a strong smell, which is totally repugnant to the person. It's repugnant to the soul. It's a tsar, it's a pain to the soul. And that's why a person cannot tolerate a bad smell. It's repugnant to the soul, because the whole principle, the whole element is repugnant to the soul. The whole element is contrary to the soul. Soul comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that lasts forever, and there's no deterioration. And here, this is deteriorating to the point of decay and spoilage and rot. To the contrary, something with a good aroma, that's a sign it's healthy. It's a sign it's healthy. That's a sign it's vigorous. That already can identify with the soul. That's an enjoyment to the soul. That's something that the soul enjoys, that reyach, even more than the body. This is why we find that with spoilage and decay and so forth, it's part and parcel with a reyach ra, with a bad odor. So these were the 10 miracles which took place. And from here we learn the level of the Beis HaMikdash, where it was basically, in many, many ways, free from the natural order, and therefore these took place all of the time, and it was free from this deterioration process. And from here we can learn that this that we are accustomed to, that we see that we can work for something and then it becomes old and grows, falls apart and turns into dust and decays and spoils and so forth and so on, which is so much part and parcel of our life. Firstly, this is only the physical element of life. This is only the physical element, not the spiritual element. The Torah stands forever. Mitzvahs are forever. Kodesh Baruch is forever. The soul, if we care for it, is forever. All of this other spoilage, that's only part of the physical world. Atah, but you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything that is related with you, that will stand forever. See? So we must realize this is just part of the physical world. You will return to, you and everything else, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, will return to the earth, but the soul will live on. That's the first principle. The second principle we learn from here, the more spirit a person brings into his life, then the more distance he will place between he and this process of decay and deterioration. We see that the minute something is somewhat elevated, then it's already light. It's called or. It's not called cheshev, darkness. And it's far from deterioration. People who live their lives totally physical, so they deteriorate physically and spiritually. We see physically, people even who are very physical, they ruin their bodies with the wrong food, their bodies deteriorate, and with drink, and with drugs, and everything else. This all's part and parcel of it. The world was given to us to use the physical world to rise to higher spiritual heights. This is what the world was given to us for. So we must make use of the physical world. And even if the physical world would decay, even if the aspect of the physical world that we use will decay, we take a Gemara and we learn from it. Even if eventually the Gemara will become Seimesh, or even a Sefer Torah, it'll become old and it will deteriorate because it's made from physical parchment and physical ink. But what we learn from it will last forever. That will never decay or deteriorate. The world was given to us to use for spiritual perfection. If it's used that way, then it doesn't matter if what we used will eventually decay. That's just a means to an end. If we use the physical world for physical end, that's a very sorrowful sight. A person who uses his life for physical ends, that's a very sorrowful sight. Because when he is finished on this world and everything else, everything is gone. That's what the last Mishnah Masechta Omos tells us. B'shor shemalavines ha'odom. When a person leaves this world, ein malavin ha'isoy le'kesev le'izov ve'le'avonim tevis ve'le'margolios. His gold doesn't go with him, and his silver doesn't go with him, and his pearls doesn't go with him, and his precious stones, nothing of that goes along with him. El ha-Torah v'amaisim tevim bulvad. What goes with him is all of the Torah and all of his deeds and all of his mitzvahs. That goes with him, because that never ends. See? So this is the principle we learn from here. Very important principle. And the higher a level we bring ourselves on, the further we become from deterioration and decay. Actually, the Gemara Masechta Tainus tells us, Yaakov Avinu Lemes. Yaakov was on such a spiritual level, he didn't die. Even though it states he died and they buried him, the Gemara says that wasn't a death. Whatever the Gemara means, but it means this principle. Misa Malachamoves, the death, angel of death, had no influence over someone like Yaakov Avinu. This is what we learn, some of the things we learn from this Mishnah, in regards to the Beis HaMikdash, which we learn about in this Parsha, and we should be zeicher to uplift our lives, so our lives, what we work for, will not be temporary, but will last forever.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.